6th Avenue. Nel Centro serves food from the French and Italian Riviera with a spacious year-round patio and private dining and meeting rooms. More information is available at nelcentro.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Awards Ceremony on Friday, April 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Celebration Tabernacle Church in Portland. The Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Awards Ceremony features the 2019 high school student winners of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship and keynote speaker Dr. Brian Gibbs, Vice President for the Equity and Inclusion at Oregon Health and Science University. This year's scholarship question was, how can you work against systemic racism to help make our world more healthy? Again, that's the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Awards Ceremony on Friday, April 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Celebration Tabernacle Church, 8131 North Denver Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland.
And good morning. You are listening to Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. And heard a little bit of some sitar music there at the tail end of Volunteers from the great path-breaking Jefferson Airplane. I played that because it came out in 1969, the year that my guest this morning, Shellis Glendinning, graduated from Berkeley. And we're going to be talking about her brand new book, not actually yet out in the stores, but will be in next month in May. It's called In the Company of Rebels, A Generational Memoir of Bohemians, Deep Heads, which she'll probably explain, and history makers about many of the remarkable people, well, I guess 46 to be exact, that she met and interacted with in her remarkable life. And we're going to be talking to her from Bolivia. She has written 9 books, including one that is very dear, near and dear to my heart. My name is Shellis, and I'm in recovery from Western civilization. Had a major impact on me and a lot of people in the radical environmental movement that I was a part of, maybe still am. Another book called Off the Map, An Expedition Deep into Imperialism, the Global Economy, and Other Earthly Whereabouts. And her first book, which I have not even looked at, is called When Technology... Well, no, actually, she wrote a book about nuclear before that, but she wrote a book called When Technology Wounds, and there's some common threads to all these books. Anyway, we'll bring her up right now. Good morning, Chellis.
Greetings.
How's the weather down there in Bolivia?
Oh, dear, I knew you were going to ask that. It's a major disappointment. We just moved from a so-called summer into winter and kind of skipped something important there. And so it's very cold, but the sun is out every day now.
That's right. You know, south of the border can mean different things. If you go far enough south, it kind of flips.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it. You know, we're in our membership drive, so we're going to be breaking to go to Membership Central to talk about how people can get in touch with us to support our station. I know you're familiar with this format because, obviously we're in Berkeley and you're well familiar with KPFA. So talk about, there's so many things to talk about. You grew up in Cleveland and then you made your way out west. I guess maybe just first talk about how you ended up in Berkeley.
Well, I was finishing my second year at Smith College in Massachusetts, and I was quite miserable there. And a friend of mine who was going to Amherst nearby said to me, there's something going on with our generation out in the Bay Area, and you simply have to go. And I, okay. And so when I went back to Cleveland for summer vacation, it was 1967, which happened to be the summer of love. And I threw a pair of jeans and some sandals into a little suitcase, and I had saved up $75, which was at that time the airfare to the Bay Area. And I flew off. Mm-hmm. And that was that for the next 20 years.
And what did you study there?
Social science, which was a big combination of economics and anthropology and sociology and politics.
And of course, you ended up becoming a therapist, which informs a lot of your works and I guess your activism as well. That was what struck me with your book, My Name is Chellis. It really gave me a different way of looking at things, like the interaction between, you know, the way we're wounded is kind of a constant theme of your works, and the way that, you know, nature provides the best healing power and the getting away from what you call the primal matrix is kind of the part of the downfall. And I guess we're just swimming deeper and deeper into the non-primal matrix these days, huh?
Oh, yes. Goodness.
So just maybe we're going to have to break in a few minutes. I don't want to, you know, talk a lot about that book because we want to talk mostly about your new book, In the Company of Rebels, and starting off there in Berkeley, but also you talk in the early chapters about your growing up in Cleveland and the large influence your mother played on your life. Sounds like an incredibly remarkable person, but just touch on what that concept of the primal matrix is.
Okay. It is a description of the who we were And one of the things that I talk about in My Name is Chellis is a timeline. And if the timeline is about 100 feet, and which is about the size of a foot, a basketball court, if that represents 1 million years of being humans, which is a figure that is debatable, but some say more and some say less. But anyway, I landed on 1 million years. And of that million years, timeline, 100 feet, only 1/5 of an inch represents the length of time we've lived in mass technological civilization. So what happened before that was that we largely were living in the natural world, and there were no concrete roads, and there were no skyscrapers, and there was no telephone, and it was a whole other state of being, which produced a kind of a structure of a psyche that reflected its environment, and in a good way. And so the primal matrix is that couching of human in nature, and mm-hmm. a reflection of that reality.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you were heavily influenced, as you say, by you got out to the West Coast, the Bay Area, because you heard that things were happening there, along with many others. And that's what we'll be talking about as we continue our conversation, but maybe as we go out to our first break. The 60s were a challenge to so many different things. What brought you to, how did you get that start to get that sensibility that you're talking about now, that awareness through your experiences that far back, or was that a later process?
I think it was always in me.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I can trace back experiences in the natural world that were important to me from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it really was the primal matrix was really alive and well during the 60s in places like Berkeley. Because I look back now and I see all the things that were springing forth, from communal living to natural foods to radical strategies, political strategies, to protest against the war, to the place of women in society. And they all sprung from intuition, because what did we know? We were 18 years old, we were 20 years old, we were 25 years old. We didn't know these things. And yet all of the facets of making society into something different sprung from our psyches.
Mm-hmm. That's beautifully stated. We'll carry on with that thought in a few minutes. For now, let's go to Jenna. Hello, Jenna.
That's right. We're in the middle of our spring membership drive. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. You're tuned in to Wednesday Talk Radio, and we have a show goal right now for our spring membership drive of $500. So if you can become a member, right now is a great time to do it, because you're a fan of Wednesday Talk Radio. What a better time to call in and become a member of KBOO today.
You know, I think we can not only meet that goal, but we can exceed it. I think we can.
I think we can.
I believe it's possible.
It feels like that kind of Wednesday.
Yeah,
feels like that
indeed.
Kind of Wednesday.
You know, and if you need a little extra incentive, I have in my hands some extra incentive for you.
What is it, A?
For right now, for a donation amount of $60, that's a mere $5 a month,
mm-hmm.
you can get your hands on In the Company of Rebels by cellist Glendinning. What this is a series of 43 vignettes, biographical sketches of radicals, American radicals, and radicals from around the world from over the years. We're talking people like Marty Schiffenhauer, who fought to pass the first rent control law in the United States, to Ponderosa Pine, who started the All Species Parade and never wore shoes. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. And Dan and Patricia Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers back during the Vietnam War. These are important, tight, short biographies, easily digestible, about some of the most important revolutionaries and radicals of our times. And it's yours for a pledge of $60.
That's only $5 a month.
That is only $5.
And guess what? If you're like, hey, I can do $5 a month, I really enjoy the guest that's on Wednesday Talk Radio right now to the point where I want that book because this is the time to get it. 877-500-5266. Show your support for community radio. Show your support for Paul. You're like, hey, I'm a Wednesday Talk Radio fan, and I love how every single week Paul Roland sits there in the studio, brings me amazing guests, and, well, just frankly gets me through my week and reminds me of, oh, yes, there are amazing voices out there. And just like this interview today, that we come from amazing people, that we have an amazing history in this country of people who are willing to smash the fascism, who are willing to speak out. That's you. That's you. That's right. 877-500-5266. Only $5 a month. Get that book in the company of Rebels today.
Yeah, and if you're noticing a theme that's working its way through our pledge drive this spring, that's because there is one. Mm-hmm. Smashing fascism.
Smash.
You know, that's a nice, tight little phrase. Yes, that's a nice little marketing angle we've got here. But I'm telling you something right now. We have never been closer to sliding into a full-grown autocracy in the United States than we are right now at this very moment.
Yeah.
You need things like Wednesday Talk Radio right now more than you ever have in your life. Yes, is it condescending for me to tell you what you need in your life? Yes. But I'm right, and you know I'm right. And you know how I know? Because, or how you know? Everybody knows because you're listening to Wednesday Talk Radio.
Yeah.
That's how
we
know.
Yeah, if you know... First, let's give out that phone number one more time because people are so inspired. 877-500-5266. Or if you're on the online, kboo.fm, and hit that donate button. These conversations, so important. And then if you call us, you can not only be listening to this conversation, if you can do $5 a month, you can also get the book in the company of Rebels because that's who Paul is talking to right now. Paul says, hey, who's out there? What voices do we need to amplify? What voices do we need to make sure get heard? And yes, we're talking about history right now, but guess what? Those are the voices that inspire us to know how to smash the fascism today because smashing the fascism didn't end in the 60s. It is continuing to this day, and we need to be inspired by that. We need to be educated on how to do it. 877-500-5266, or click on that donate button.
We're very proud of the legacy we built here at KBOO. Yes. One of the big reasons that we're so proud is that we have been smashing fascism for 50 years.
That's a lot of smashing.
That is a lot of smashing. That's a lot of smashed fascists.
And we will continue to smash for 50 more years if necessary.
That's right. We are the voice of your community. We are supported by you, our listeners. You are listeners who realize that a united community acting in the best interests of everyone is what is going to pull us all through this dark time we're living through right now. Am I sounding gloomy? Am I sounding doomy? I am. But I'm speaking like this because it's the truth. I'm telling you that a tool in your toolbox, the fascism smasher that you need, mm-hmm. is KBOO 90.7.
Yes. 877-500-5266. You can hear people who have called in. They're calling in right now, and our volunteers are taking their calls. It only takes 2 minutes to become a member or to renew your membership of KBOO today. Smash the fascism, restore humanity, and get a book in the process in the company of Rebels. That's 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm, or come in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue at Burnside and see how we smash. See how it only takes a couple minutes to become a member of KBOO today. One more time. Let's do it together. 877-500-5266.
And we're back. Thank you, Abe and Jenna. And so, Chellis, we were talking about, keeps resonating that idea that this, whether you call it the primal matrix or, I don't know, maybe natural consciousness, if that's not too controversial, some force that's kind of a universal force that is maybe the life force, I don't know, is that that keeps pushing forth, you know, the image of the weeds coming up through the concrete or whatever, the cracks in the sidewalk. So that's just such a wonderful image, and is that what drove you? Is that what sort of impelled you to become a therapist? Your desire to manifest that healing power?
Yes, and I think that in some ways, I mean, healing arose intuitively. Mm-hmm. Healing arose as an important theme in my life. But its origins were that I needed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for a long time it was just an attraction to the idea of healing, and I studied many, many of the natural healing approaches that were ancient and traditional and also that were being invented at the time. And then at a certain point I realized that what was behind all these symptoms that were bothering me so much was trauma in my childhood, and that I needed to heal from that. And so I became a therapist whose specialty was recovery from trauma.
And of course, that the traumas can be in the individual, and obviously we know now that there's, you know, kind of collective trauma, there's intergenerational trauma, and you kind of tackle in that My Name is Shellis book, and I'm in Recovery from Western Civilization. It's very humorous that you say that at various conferences you went to, you would say that phrase and would kind of get a laugh. But anyway, so what's as I said, I didn't want to stick too much on that book, much as I would like to, but people can, of course, go back and pick that up on the internet. Occasionally at some of the local bookstores you can find it, as well as another book, Off the Map, An Expedition Deep into Imperialism, the Global Economy, and Other Earthly Whereabouts, in that book, When Technology Wounds, which I do want to talk a little bit as we go along. But let's jump back into the story that you tell in this book through your own experiences mingled with other people that you encountered. And so after you graduated from Berkeley, you landed at Cody's Books. Maybe people know that, you know, Cody's Books was a major counterculture institution, I guess you could say, there in Berkeley, and started by Pat and Fred Cody. Talk a little bit about them, as kind of how they sort of exemplify the spirit of rebellion that you talk about in your book.
Yes. Well, Pat Cody is the subject of one of the chapters in The Company of Rebels. And she was a remarkable person. She and her husband, Fred, had to leave the United States during the HUAC hearings.
That's House Un-American Activities. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. House Un-American Activities
Committee.
Committee. They left because they were being called up to go and testify whether they knew any communists or not. And so they went to Mexico, and they lived there as exiles, expats, for a number of years, and then when things changed a bit, they came back and they started Cody's Books. Part of the reason why they did that was because they were being labeled communists themselves. And in order to become a professor, which was the goal of Fred, he would have had to sign a loyalty oath. And so they said, okay, we're not going to do any of that. So they started the bookstore. And it became a real community center. And because I was very young, you know, I didn't realize how unusual it was. It all just seemed part of everything that was happening in Berkeley. But they, I mean, even in the bathroom, they had a chalkboard where you could put your feelings about what was going on in the collective sphere. They allowed vendors to sell their wares on the sidewalk in front of the store. And so there was a whole group of marvelous, colorful people that you, in order to get into the bookstore, that you walked through and were affected by. I worked there, I can't remember for how long, a few years. My boyfriend was working at Shambhala at the time, bookstore, on the same block. I was head of mythology section and esoteric wisdom section. It was really wonderful to work there.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm talking with cellist Glendinning, the author of the new book, In the Company of Rebels. I lost the page. Well, I'll just say it here. I was going to ask you to say, but okay, In the Company of Rebels, a generational memoir of bohemians, deep heads, and history makers. And you say, it's interesting, you say that you didn't really have so much of a historical sense. Although reading some of your stuff, I'm not sure that's totally true, but maybe it was more embryonic at the time. And it wasn't until you said it wasn't until you turned 60 that you looked back, I guess, and you'd been reading maybe some memoirs that did something similar, earlier memoirs that did something similar to what you're doing, kind of looking at a range of people that the authors had met in their lives, you know, like Meetings with Remarkable Men, I think, Gurdjieff, but while you were in Berkeley, things were happening so fast. I think that's probably the nature of often of youth in general, of living so much in the present. And then looking back, you really noted, as you said, the importance of institutions like Cody's Books, and Pat Cody and Fred Cody, and many of the other people that you show in your book here. So history makers, is that's something that was later in coming to understand that they actually were, your generation was making history. You want to talk a little bit about that? And maybe some people that exemplify that as well.
Yeah. What can I say?
It's the 60s, man.
Yeah, right. I didn't, I mean, I guess maybe an example of not, you know, not really feeling the importance of history was that if somebody was majoring in history in the university, I just thought, well, that's boring. Who would want to you study that? And then when I became old enough to look back and see the decades of what we had done, I suddenly realized, my God, we lived through history. And that somehow opened a door to my understanding that people throughout history were just like us. Whereas I had somehow valued, for instance, the gathering of people in Paris in the 20s, 30s, the artists, the writers, the theater people, the radicals, you know, that they had done a better job than we had done. And I realized that wasn't true. And that we had made our own stab at things. And there was something about, because I lived it, that there was a sense of maybe the frailty of the human psyche at this point in history. And the more I read about what was happening in other eras, the more I understood that people had psychological problems all along. So that was Yeah, yeah. And I had gone through a whole period where I actually was on crutches, and I couldn't drive, and I was kind of stuck in my house for about a year. And I turned to my library, and part of which was my mother's library. And I spent the whole year reading about people from 1910, 1920, 1930, and some of the marvelous, the Bloomsbury group and Paris and people from Spain and, you know, the kind of awakening that took place at that time. And that was a very important step for me, prepared the way for me to understand when I turned 60, which was 12 years ago, that, you know, that we had done a very good job, that a lot of things had changed. A lot of things are being, you know, reversed now, but we had really accomplished quite a bit.
Well, speaking of the theme for our membership drive, fighting fascism, that certainly was happening back in the 20s and 30s.
Yes.
And we are going to our break. If you'd like to stay with us, Shellis, and maybe start out, if you would be so kind, if you're willing. As you know, we talked about you being in Berkeley, and I've talked a fair amount about KPFA. We talk about that on KBOO, especially, you know, during our 50th anniversary year, which was last year, 1968, we went on the air, and we're, wow, you know, the oldest, I believe, non-Pacifica affiliate station that is a community, you know, community independent listener-sponsored station. So maybe say a little bit about, I imagine you've given interviews like this to a number of community radio stations over the years. I don't know, you were living in New Mexico, you probably had a station there as well. I mean, talk about maybe the importance to you and to you know, getting alternative ideas out and building movements.
Uh-huh.
Of community radio.
Yes, yes. Well, I just feel that community radio is absolutely essential to our movements. The idea of a world without community radio is a pretty dreary vision. So what it does for us is that it keeps us informed. It tells real news. It inspires. And it has fabulous music. I mean, compare like an AM radio station, which these blaring, intrusive ads and this really kind of B and C level music, to a jazz program or a classical music program. Modern youth music, creative music.
Indeed. Well, thank
it's
you.
The best.
Thank you for that. And with that, we'll encourage people to call 877-500-5266. And we're joined by Abe and Jenna again.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, you know, I feel like she's looking at our schedule, our programming schedule here at KBOO, because that she just described exactly what a community radio station is. We do have fabulous music.
We do.
We do. I will say this. You know, this afternoon there's going to be a jazz special that is about jazz and baseball.
Jazz and baseball.
You're not going to find that on other stations, and it's because we allow our programmers to try to have as wide of a breadth of programming as possible. We don't put restrictions on people. And that's the whole point of fighting fascism and smashing the fascism, is to say, we're not going to restrict you. We're not going to restrict your freedom of speech. We need you to put the info out there. Say what you want to say. Your idea might seem, oh, you're like, oh, no, that's like a community idea. Yes, that's a community idea. We want to amplify that idea because those are the voices that get smashed down, and so then we smash back. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. You're listening to Wednesday Talk Radio right now with Paul Roland. And guess what? If you can come in at that $5 a month, $60 a year, we'll thank you with the book, In the Company of Rebels, a generational memoir of Bohemians, Deepheads, and history makers.
Yes, by Chelis Glendening, the guest morning's Wednesday Talk Radio.
What a coincidence.
See how that works?
That's amazing.
I know. It's incredible. You can be a part of this community radio station that is the connective tissue of our fair city. 877-500-5266. Smashing fascism does not happen in a vacuum, Jenna.
No.
It does not happen one person at a time. It happens when all of us join our forces, we bind our intellects together, we share our hearts with the community, and we smash fascism, and we restore humanity to our discourse, to our polity, to our civilization. That's what community radio is about. Is that grandiose? Maybe a little, but it's true.
I don't think it's grandiose because we're doing it.
It's true.
Cable has shown that we do it. This is what we do. And you know what? It is made possible. The we part is you, the listener. And why don't you join other listeners who have become members of KBOO today? Let's do some thank yous. We got Eleanor, who is calling from Northwest Portland. Thank you, Eleanor. We have Sharon from Vancouver. We have Frank from Camas and Beverly from North Portland. Let's right give on. Them an applause for smashing the fascism, for supporting community radio. 877-500-5266. Join your fellow listeners, become a member of KBOO today, or go online to kboo.fm and smash that donate button.
You know, and we got stuff. You know, joining KBOO, becoming a member of your community radio station, is a pleasure in and of itself. But we've got stuff, too. If that's not quite enough to get you to pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, what kind of stuff? We got hoodies. We got T-shirts. We got tote bags. We got beanies. We got other T-shirts. We got stuff for you. We got it.
We got all the things, but mainly this hour, we'd like to highlight the fact that you can get the book of the person that you're listening to right now. In the Company of Rebels. And then guess what? You can be in the Company of Rebels by joining KBOO.
Be a rebel.
Be a rebel. 877-500-5266. You rebel? You can get $5 a month and get that book. And that is you smashing fascism. That is you showing your support of KBOO, of having community radio. I mean, the importance of community radio is such that all this information, talking about activism, apparently is a revolutionary act, and we're doing it. You're doing it. You're part of the conversation. 877-500-5266.
You know, that was very well said.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know if I have anything to add to that. Well, okay, I do. 877-500-5266. It's important. You can't just listen, although we appreciate you. Even if you do, just listen. But that don't keep the lights on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We need your help. 877.
We like lights.
We do. We can't see without them. 877-500-5266.
And we're back. As you heard, we are talking about Chelis Glendinning's book, In the Company of Rebels, a generational memoir of Bohemians, deep heads, and history makers. I just want to give you a second to explain that term deep heads, which may be a curious, something that people haven't heard before.
Yeah. This is a term that was used by the family of John Schar. And John Schar was a very, very popular fighter for democracy professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And the family had a cabin up on the Lost Coast of California, and they would go up there for vacation. And he had his study was down in the basement, and he didn't ever go on vacation, because he would go down in the evening, and he would write. And the family invented the term deep head as a form of making fun of him. So John Schar was a deep head.
Yeah, I like that. So let's go back to your book some more. As I said, started out with Berkeley, A Likely Place to Begin, is the first chapter where you maybe start to blossom a bit more openly in terms of your exposure to various different rebellious trends that were going on. You were arrested at People's Park, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's what a historical moment that was. We may be able to talk a little bit about that. And then you go back to Cleveland, where you grew up, and talked about your mother, Hooker Glendinning, which is an interesting name that you explain as a wonderful explanation, going back to actually the origin of the term Hooker. Actually, comes from the name of a man, Hooker, and is the people they brought, I guess, for the railroad workers. Is that right? The women that were brought for the railroad workers.
No, you got two of my ancestors mixed up. But the earlier one, that was from the Civil War. The earlier one was Thomas Hooker, who came over in 1633, having been oppressed in England for religious reasons. And so, like many people, they were fleeing the politics that was going on at that point.
Anyway, people can get the book to learn more about that. And then you talk about your remarkable activist mother, who was incredibly immersed in the civil rights movement at the time, and really stuck it out in a really admirable way, and sort of rode with the times and got involved with all kinds of stuff. Anyway, that's your second chapter. Then you go to your 2 years at Smith College, the chapter called The Paleolithic at Smith College, about Paul Shepherd, who's another major influence of mine. I've read numerous of his books. It looks like we may actually have a caller. Yeah, this is a call-in show. It's always difficult during a membership drive because time kind of is limited. But let's go to a caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul and Shellis. Shellis, there was a wonderful documentary called What a Way to Go, and in that you mentioned deep grief. That really rings true for me. I was wondering if you could talk about the whole concept of deep grief and how, you know, shutting down, dropping out, almost like a type of general strike is like an appropriate emotional reaction to a civilization that is annihilating the planet. And could you just elaborate on deep grief? Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for pointing that out. Yes, I mean, this is another moment where being an activist and a psychologist come into play. There's a wonderful quote from Mark Caskey, who was the director of Fort Mason Center for many decades and is now retired. And he said, "I'd like to say a few words about the environment. After all, where would we be without it?" So yeah, it was said in a way to be humorous, but it's absolutely true. So if our planet is dying and we're watching this happen, piece of land by piece of land, forest by forest, then what are we losing? It's more than a feeling that we've lost a family member or a lover. It's everything. It's our primal matrix. It's our lives. And more people are dying, whether it's through war or through migration or through all the various illnesses that this civilization propagates. And so this is probably the deepest grief, because it's everything. And of course, you know, thanks to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, we've learned to open ourselves to our feelings about death. And as I said before, it's not just one person who's dying. It's everything that has ever been created and known by humanity and every species, and the entire planet. So that's very important for us to recognize. And I like your idea about the general strike as a description. That really makes a lot of sense.
Well, we also got another caller called in to my board operator, Liam, who I thank for his tireless work there behind the board. Erica says that there will be a film called Grieving for the Planet at the Hollywood Theater, as I believe part of the Eco Film Festival. Oh, wow. Soma Space in the Hollywood District. Okay, that's what that means. Thank you, Liam. And that's this Sunday at 2 to 5 p.m. Grieving for the Planet at the Soma Space in the Hollywood District. And Erica was kind enough to leave her email, which I assume means she wants it read over the air. It's Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at getcreative.design. Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at getcreative.design. It's another thing we do here at Community Radio is try to connect people with what's happening and the resources that are out there. Got a few minutes left till our final break here. So, again, one of your themes, you know, from the very beginning, your book about nuclear, waking up in the nuclear age, your book about when technology wounds, My Name is Chellis, all strongly focus on technology and the dangers of technology. I think it was either yesterday or the day before was actually the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, which I thought was an interesting note in terms of the hubris, human hubris, and the hubris has grown to virtually unlimited dimensions at this point. But I don't know, you want to pick a couple people. I did mention Paul Shepard, who is a big hero of mine. You talk about the roaring inside her feminism, and Susan Griffin, who, of course, she wrote Woman in Nature, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Lucy Lepard, a wonderful social critic. And then you talk about Fritjof Capra, the wonderful author of the Tao of Physics and the sort of the new paradigm, holistic thinking, from Hiroshima to Chernobyl, the anti-nuclear movement, Long Live Ned Ludd, technology criticism. These are all chapters. And each one has numerous people, for example, Jerry Mander and Stephanie Mills and Ted Rozak and Kirkpatrick Sale in that technology criticism. I don't know, you want to pick another one of these people in the couple minutes we have before the final break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things I'd like to point out is going back to the title, another term besides deephead is a generational memoir. And what I was trying to do with the book is give a sense of what it was like to be living in the times of the heyday of our movements, of my generation, although there are a few chapters about people who preceded us. So really trying to portray the soul of those times through the lives and the choices that individuals made. And so, who might I mention? One of the people I mentioned, there's a whole section on anarchism, is John Zerzan, who is a noted author on the subject of modern anarchist movements. And so he was born in 1943 and became very active as he discovered anarchism. And so I talk about in the chapter about his turning on to anarchism and his manifestation of it. And he was in Eugene, and is still in Eugene, kind of became a center of intellectual understanding of what anarchism is. And it turns out that anarchism is not at all how somebody from the dominant society would define it, that it has been defined in many different ways. It's been associated with union organizing, as well as rampaging through the streets in Seattle. And the principle behind it is no God, no authority. Everything must be decided by community members, and no hierarchy. So he's one of the people in the anarchism section.
Okay. Yeah, I just had him on for the first time, actually. I've been doing this show a few years. I've known him for a long time, had some mutual friends, and he actually has, we have a strong mutual friend in Italy that was one of my good friends over there. So I've actually seen him over there when I was living there for many years. Anyway, we've got to go to a break again. Thank you for that. Actually, it's a gathering. It's not a film called Gathering for the Planet. It's actually a gathering of people to grieve for the grieving for the planet. It's a gathering of people to grieve for the planet. So that's not a film, not part of the Eco Film Festival, as I just kind of read that in there. It's at the Soma Space in Hollywood District this Sunday, 2 to 5 p.m. And I'll put her email address on this page. And with that, let's go back to Jenna and Abe.
Actually, Abe had to go off to not smash fascism, but smash his job. So instead, I am joined by Gwen. Gwen, good morning.
Good morning, Jenna.
And if you are ready to pick up that phone, which I know you all are, dial with me, 877-500-5266. Give us a call. Become a member of KBOO today. And if you can come in at that $5 a month or $60 a year, you can get the book In the Company of Rebels, A Generational Memoir of Bohemians, Deepheads, and History Makers by Chelis Glendinning, who is the guest right now. And you've been appreciating Paul bringing in this guest right now just for you for the spring membership drive. Show your support. Show your appreciation for all the work that Paul brings you every single Wednesday morning. 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. That donate button, it's just begging for you.
It is. And it's big, it's bright, it's red.
Yeah.
Ka-ching.
So easy. Only
right there.
2 minutes to become a member.
Right?
Right? So just kboo.fm, or if you're on the mobile app, you just swipe, and then you just go swipety left, swipety right, swipe upside down. Boom. Member. Member of KBOO. So simple. 877-500-5266. We're still in our last few minutes, and we can meet our show goal for today. It just takes a handful of you to call in and show your support for community radio.
And, right, of course, as all the other hosts always feel, we feel it, you know, gives back something to us. Obviously, we do this because we love doing it. I certainly do. And I love to be able to put on people like Chelis on the air. You know, otherwise, you'd have no chance to hear because no one else will put her on the air except for KBOO. And I do deeply appreciate, as does everybody at the station, support, not just, you know, for KBOO, but, you know, also for this show. I do a lot of work getting people together for this show. So call up at 877-500-5266 right now.
You know, Paul's so right. One thing I love about the KBOO community, especially the programmers, it's, yes, they love making radio. Radio is fun to do. But the thing that they all have in common is that programmers really want to bring you other people's voices. They think it is so important to amplify the kind of voices that you're not going to hear on other radio stations, that you're not always even going to hear on podcasts and stuff. KBOO Community Radio brings you unique programming. You turned it on this morning and you said, I know Paul's going to bring me something that I've never heard before. Paul's going to bring me a guest that makes my brain go, oh, I can smash fascism. There's a history of that in this country. There's people I can be inspired by. Oh, and Paul's going to bring them on. Hello, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm, and click on the donate button
right now.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, we just got a few minutes left. I know this is always a little bit difficult to ask a guest to summarize, sum up, you know, this book that they spent however many years writing and takes up a lot of pages and is, you know, your heart and soul and psyche and emotions went into this book and all your other books. But, you know, is there kind of a takeaway? What, you know, you've led an interesting and long life and met a lot of interesting people who you're, you know, just only partially representing this book. Is there, you know, and I'm sure you've, you know, you see what's going on now. You probably wish, like the rest of us, we could have a resurgence like the 60s come back. But is there a takeaway that what are you trying to do with this book other than just sort of tell these important stories?
Well, as I was saying before, I'm trying to capture the soul of movements, various movements, that all happened during my generation, in order to pass on that history so that we can continue on.
And of course, there are lessons to be learned. We all often, people lament that people are just reinventing the wheel, and it's true. I mean, maybe that's something to talk about. The intergenerational memory and the passing. You know, I feel like in my own lifetime, you know, I've had my mini 60s when I got involved with the Earth First movement for me. And of course, it was connected to many other movements. It kind of morphed into the anti-globalization movement of the mid to late 90s. But, you know, those were intense times for me. And they, you know, there was a lot going on. And there's always a lot going on. But, you know, looking back, if I had known at the outset a lot of the things that people had learned so painfully by their own experience, it would have. But there's something about our culture, our society, the technologies, the burnout that people have, and the disappointment and stuff. I don't know. Talk a little bit about that, the need for connecting different generations together.
Yes. Well, it certainly was important to us in the beginnings of, say, for instance, the anti-war movement, the Vietnam movement, to know that there were among us people who had been active in the 30s, who had been trying to envision a different kind of a world and had been trying to work for it, as well as in the 50s, when people were being oppressed by the McCarthy movement and the HUAC hearings and all of that, and that there's a passage of courage that can be transmitted from one generation to the next. And that's certainly one of the things that I was trying to do in writing this book.
Mm-hmm. So, are you gonna be back in the States anytime?
Well, I've had some problems with immigration here, and so I did have plans to be there right now.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But I have to stay here in Bolivia to address these problems, and we are talking about my coming in the fall.
Okay. Well, be sure to put Portland on your itinerary, and I will have you back in the studio if that happens. And I would also be glad to help. You know, we could, you know, KBOO could help co-sponsor an event if that's something you're interested in. This sort of came to me. That's something we do. And, maybe, you know, one of the bookstores as well or whatever. It's an open invitation, but I really look forward to finally meeting you because you've been a hero of mine for many years. And I just can't impress enough on people the importance of your work as being and many others, and many of the people you profile in your book are sort of your fellow travelers, fellow rebels, and thinkers, as you said, deep heads, bohemians.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I thank you myself personally.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. So, we have to get off the air now.
Yeah, we're just about out of time. So,
okay.
That's, I guess, the final thank you. So, good talking to you, Shellis, and we'll hopefully be seeing you here in Portland in the fall.
Great. All right. Well, this has been great.
Okay. Thank you much. All right, so her book, again, is In the Company of Rebels, and you can still get a copy if you donate $60 and by calling 877-500-5266. You got another almost a minute, 877-500-5266. Make it count. Help us meet our goal. Coming up next, the Radio Zine welcomes a group of 7th and 8th grade students from Portland's Cottonwood School of Civics and Science to talk about their recently completed podcasts on the topic globalization and food. I guess Liam was going to read that. Anyway, I'm off. This is Paul Rowland, Wednesday Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bare Bones, located at 2900 Southeast Belmont Street, serving traditional American breakfast and lunch with the view of a gallery of local artists rotating monthly, open early morning to late night. Lunch was provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue. With local ingredients, Daily Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and wine spirits. Open 7 days a week from early morning to late lunch. Dinner was provided by Nel Centro, located in the Theater and Arts District at 1408 Southwest 6th Avenue. Nel Centro serves food from the French and Italian Riviera with a spacious year-round patio and private dining and meeting rooms. More information is available at nelcentro.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station